Well, a pleasant evening to you and you too, Blaine. We're delighted you tuned in tonight and that we can study the Word of God together. If you'll take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke in the 23rd chapter, we'll begin our study there. Luke chapter 23. Look, if you will, beginning at verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." You know, there are many in the religious world who hold the view one does not have to be baptized in order to be saved. And to offset what is taught about baptism, they often turn to the thief on the cross. And they believe and feel if they show the thief was not baptized, then they do not have to be baptized. But there's two things I want to bring to your mind about that. First of all, we need to recall that Jesus is the Son of God, and he can do whatever he desires. If he wants to save a man, that is his desire. But secondly, we also need to remember that at this time, Jesus had not died, and his new covenant had not gone into effect. Take your Bible and look in the Hebrew letter and the 9th chapter. And to prove this, notice what the Hebrew writer said in verse 16, and measure what I say by the word of God. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is enforced after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Jesus at this time had not died, and Jesus could put into his inheritance anybody he desired. And while Jesus was on the earth, he told different people to do different things to be saved. In your Bible, look in the book of Mark and the 10th chapter. And you remember there was the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And what did Jesus tell that man? After he told the man to keep the commandments, the man said, "I've done that since my youth." And Jesus said, "I tell you what, go sell all you have and give it to the poor and come follow me." And that young man went away sorrowfully. Now, many today misunderstand that salvation is by the authority of God, that we have written in God's inspired word what we must do in order to be saved. But for a few moments, let us examine the thief on the cross. The first thing I want to do is understand that the Bible clearly calls him a thief. You do not have to guess about it. You don't have to wonder about it. We are plainly told he is a thief, without any doubt and without any controversy. But there are some things I wonder about that man who was identified as a thief. Number one, what did he steal? I've often wondered, did he steal someone's money or someone's possession? Did he steal someone's land? Just what did that man steal? Now, I do not know, nor do you know, because the Bible does not reveal, but one thing is known, he sinned no matter what it was that he stole. Number two, how often was he willing to steal? Did he only do it once, or did he do it many times? Just how often did that man go out and steal? And again, we do not know because the Bible does not reveal it. But then there's a third question we may ask. Why did he steal? Was he hungry? Did he have a family? Did he say, "It's all right to steal because I'm hungry"? I've often wondered why that man became a thief. And again, I do not know because the Bible doesn't reveal it. But then there's a fourth thing that may come to your mind. How did his parents feel about it? If they were living when he got caught, how did they feel? Did they blame themselves? Did they stand at the cross and watch him die? Do you think his parents were hurting? Have you ever just wondered what was on the mind of the parents of one of the thieves on the cross? Though their son was a thief, no doubt they still loved him. And there are a lot of things I do not know, but there's one thing I'm sure of. The Bible says he was a thief. But notice, secondly, This man at one time on the cross mocked Jesus. Take your Bible and look at your Bible in the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter. And when you come to the Gospel of Matthew and the 27th chapter, look, if you will, at verse 44. In verse 44, even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Underscore robbers and notice it's in the plural. Here were both men who were thieves mocking the Son of God. Both men at this time were mocking Jesus. If you are the Son of your God, save yourself and save us. And so at the very beginning, it seems this man mocked Jesus. But notice something happened. That man repented. That man changed. He went from mocking Jesus to rebuking the other thief. And notice, my friend, that there's something that changed his mind. I doubt he was a student of theology. I don't know if he heard many sermons, but I wondered what changed his mind, and I can think of at least two things that perhaps helped him. Take your Bible and look in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, notice with me kindly what Peter said in verse 21 beginning. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. I want you to understand that that thief saw Jesus, and he saw a sermon. Even if he never heard one, he saw the people mistreat Jesus, spit on him, slap him, beat him, and then Jesus says, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. There was something that touched that man's heart. But you know, the thief saw three or four things about Jesus. First, he saw he was a king. Notice again in your Bible, in the book of Luke and the 23rd chapter, he said to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He recognized Jesus was going to a kingdom and that Jesus is the king. He is the only king. Secondly, he saw the kingdom of God is not a worldly kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom, but it's a spiritual relationship with God. The kingdom of God is spiritual in nature. You know, Jesus brought that out in a clear manner when talking to Pilate. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And you know, my friend, the thief saw that. Now, many today make the kingdom many things it's not, but the thief saw that it is a spiritual kingdom. Third, he recognized the king is the one who could admit him into the kingdom. Notice when he spoke to Jesus, he wasn't haughty and arrogant. He didn't say something high-minded. He humbly said, you're the king. He said, remember me when you go into your kingdom. Lord, remember me. You're the king, and if you decided, I could be a citizen of your kingdom. Now look at how the Lord replied. Isn't it wonderful? You know, the Lord didn't say, why didn't you show this to me before? Or why did you wait till you were dying to repent? No, the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know what that is? That's grace. Now I want to take that. I want to make application and the lesson yours. Tonight, if one wants to be saved like the thief, here's what you have to do. The first thing one has to do is recognize they are a sinner, alienated from God, dead in their transgression. Spiritually separated from the God of heaven. In Romans 3:23, the Bible said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. One must admit they're a thief. You may say, I'm no thief. Let me ask you a question. Have you robbed God? Have you robbed God of his glory? Have you lived selfishly and for yourself and not for him? And I'll tell you, my friend, when we fall short of the glory of God, we rob him of what's rightfully his. Secondly, we need to see that God's willing to forgive us. In 2 Peter 3:9, you remember that Peter said that God is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But third, you have to have faith enough to obey. It's not a matter of whether the Lord told the thief to be baptized. He didn't say anything about being baptized in. But I want you to know, my friend, he's told us to be baptized. Take your Bible and look in the book of Mark in the 16th chapter, verse 16. And you know, my friend, Jesus said on that occasion in very simple terms and in terms that are very plain, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, do you have faith enough to do what Jesus says? I want you to understand, my friend, when I have faith enough to obey God, I'll do what God tells me to do. And sometimes what we try to do is we look for some excuse or some reason not to obey God. I want you to know, if you're not willing to repent and be baptized, you're outside the ark of grace. In Acts 2:38, the very ones who put him to death, what did Peter tell him to do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. I'll tell you that what Jesus did while he was still alive is his business. But I'll tell you, my friend, he's spoken to us through his word in these last days, and we must hear his word. We must obey him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So sometimes we try to excuse an action we may not want to do. That's not the question. The question is, do you have faith enough to do what God told you to do? He died on the cross. He was buried and raised. And when we die to self and we're buried in the grave of baptism, we're raised up to walk in newness of life, we follow in the footsteps of our Savior. And I'll tell you something. That is a direct command. Let's pray. Father, may we have faith enough to obey your word. And when we're baptized, may we see your grace abound, that you do a work to take away our sin, and that all we're doing is humbly submitting to your will and obeying you so that you will bestow upon us your mercy. Thank you, Father. And we pray that if there's any who need to be baptized, that they'll do so immediately so that their sins can be washed away by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.